Following Up is our new Without Borders podcast series, where we explore the world of media through the eyes of journalists. Join us as we deep dive into journalists' careers, uncover their daily working lives, the priorities and challenges they're facing, and how they're adapting to today's changing media landscape. Each episode, the media specialists at Taito are putting journalists in the hot seat and delving into the topics and stories that they really care about and getting the inside scoop on best practice for media relations.
Hello, and welcome to the fifth episode of Following Up. This is Taito's podcast series in which we interview some of Europe's most respected journalists to get to know them and to find out their take on the media industry. Today, I am thrilled that we are joined by Nadine Shimrozek, who is a tech reporter for Handelsblatt. And if you're unaware, Handelsblatt is kind of a big deal. Handelsblatt is the leading business newspaper in Germany. It is definitely the most highly regarded. I know that it's definitely one that many or all of our clients who are operating PR programs in Germany are chasing us about and very keen to be featured in. So we're really thrilled to be having a chat with Nadine today to find out more about your career, Nadine, and about the publication as well. Based in Berlin, Nadine has been covering the business sector for more than 10 years, but then also made a switch over onto the tech side. So we're looking forward to chatting a little bit more about that. I'm Zoe Clark, the head of media and influence at Taito, and I'm joined by my colleague Bastian Meger, who's an associate director here and one of our media specialists. But welcome, Nadine. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for the great introduction.
Really glad that you join our podcast today, Nadine. To kick things off, I'm wondering if you could start by giving us a quick overview of Handelsblatt, the publication's focus areas, and also your audience.
Yeah, well, so we already mentioned some things. Handelsblatt is, I would say, the most important business daily in Germany. And, we reach quite a broad audience, I would say, but mainly business-oriented people that really like to know more about things that go on in our economy and other economies, and that want to dive in quite deeply into businesses. I'm the startup correspondent, so I focus on startups and mainly have a look at the unicorns in Germany. That are quite a few already. So that's something where I specialize in. And so I focus on that.
And how does your typical workday look like?
There's not such a thing, I would say. It's really complicated. But usually I try to start my day with our daily meeting where all the colleagues come together, and most of them virtually, others in Düsseldorf, where the headquarters is based, and where we try to have a very short look back at the day before, and then we just discuss what we're going to cover, what will be the main story, what will be covered in the podcasts, and who's writing which stories. So that gives me a kind of overview, and I know what the colleagues are doing, where I stand, and that's it. And after that, it's pretty much interviews, meetings, or I'm going somewhere by train to meet a startup, a founder, to go to a conference. There are dinners, it's a lot about meeting people, and then I always have to find the time to write my stories.
You already mentioned that you look mainly after the unicorns, and I guess also like the big tech companies that are on the stock market, like Zalando.
That's true. Yeah, I always have to mention Zalando. Yeah, it's Zalando, Delivery Hero, and HelloFresh, because they are also based in Berlin, and I'm the only business correspondent that lives here. So that falls into my category as well. But I do that with colleagues in Düsseldorf. So if there's a meeting with Zalando, I will be there.
And outside of this group of companies, what makes a company or spokesperson compelling to feature in your articles?
That's something I really have to think about. Usually the well there are persons that are more interesting because of their background and backgrounds that are compelling to write about and interesting to write about. It's hard to come up with an equation or like that, and that means that I will cover the story. It's also about the news and what's going on, and if there's something in regard to artificial intelligence and a company is really trying something new, maybe it's something I will cover more eagerly because, well, it's something everyone's talking about. On the other hand, I mean, we have all these very interesting founders here in Berlin. And if someone is telling me, well, there's something new I want to talk about, I definitely give him an ear and decide afterwards if it's something I would like to write about.
Before you joined Handelsblatt, you've actually spent most of your career working for news agencies like, and now that this is a tricky word for our English audience, Deutscher Depeschendienst, and also for Reuters.
Yeah.
And how different is it today to work for a business newspaper compared to the agencies?
It's quite different, I have to admit. Working for a news agency, it's a lot about how fast you are. And you have so many things you already know in advance you have to cover because, well, all these businesses have their quarterly results and you're not only in charge of like one company. At the end, I was like covering all things tech for Reuters. That means I was in charge of SAP, of Deutsche Telekom, and many more companies. So I already knew, okay, there's their AGM, I have to be there. Then there are the quarterly results, and these companies stay in touch with the journalists, so you know in advance if there's another announcement, you have to cover like everything. So it's pretty about this. I know this is coming up and it has to be on the wire in like 5 minutes time, in 10 minutes time. And from there on, you just broaden the news you're covering. On the other hand, now I'm way freer when it comes to the things I cover. Still, there are many things I have to cover and I shouldn't miss because otherwise the audience would wonder why Handelsblatt is not writing about it. But on the other hand, I just can decide, is it time for like a checkup about the unicorns in Germany? Is it time to maybe write a little wrap-up about all the job cuts or how they handle artificial intelligence? So I have to think a bit more what really might be interesting right now, but then it's a bit up to me whom I'm approaching and how I handle the story. Just at the end, the audience decides if it's if I did it in a good way. So yeah.
It sounds like you have more freedom, right? In a way.
Yeah, I guess you can say that. So yeah. It's thrilling to be a journalist that works for a news agency because it's just great to be out there and to compete with Bloomberg and all the others or DPA and to see if you're faster than them and if you have the great the good sources and sources that tell you something. On the other hand, it's a bit more strict when it comes to what you really write about. And yeah, it was just I really loved what I did for Reuters, and then it was time for a change. So both great jobs.
But you just mentioned that at Reuters you've been a tech journalist or focusing on tech. In the end, but before you've been, I think, for a few years, a business journalist.
Yeah.
What drove the change to the tech industry?
I wrote a book about startups during my maternity leave, and that kind of kicked things off. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting, and something I would like to write more about. So that something. And then, I mean, at the end, it's always also a bit of luck. And there was someone was leaving and they were asking me, and I was like, yeah, absolutely, I would love to do that. So that's somehow how it started.
Nadine, I mean, can we just recap a second? Did you just say you managed to write a book while you were on maternity leave?
Yeah, actually, I did that twice. But then when I was I have three children, so with my third child, I didn't do that. So I was like, okay, probably, no, I can't handle that with the two other children. So yeah. Yeah, but it was a bit crazy, but yeah, it was fun as well.
Seriously impressive.
I guess, yeah, having three children, it sounds like your private life is very busy, yeah. as is your work life. What is it what you enjoy about journalism the most?
I actually never knew what I could do besides becoming a journalist. So I was like one of these kids that like starting at the age of like 13 or 14 that always said, hey, I want to become a journalist. So I actually don't remember why, but I really started with working for a local newspaper. And writing like these, I don't even know the English names, but we write all about the little pets and stuff like that. Because they are shown during the weekends at some exhibitions. So I did this part as well. Now I somehow missed the whole question. Like, what was the beginning? Because before I was talking about pets, what was it?
No worries. The question was like, what do you enjoy today most about journalism?
It's the news character. I'm kind of in love with news. I really like that. What's going on in the world, and what's at the top of politics, of economics, of business. That's something that never gets old for me, I have to say. So that's it. And I can find pretty much everything interesting. If I dive in deeper, I think there's always in everything there's a little part that that is interesting, and you just have to find it and dig deeper for that. So yeah, that's it. It's news. I really like that. I always wonder when people say, I don't read the news. I don't watch them. I find that pretty peculiar, I have to say.
It sounds like you also have a hard time in your holidays to not follow the news and not look into your inbox, right?
I managed to not look into my inbox, but I really have to say I almost enjoy reading the newspaper more, because I don't have to wonder if I covered that or if we did. It's just about enjoying reading. So yeah.
and with the news agenda, especially in the tech industry, is it feels busier than ever with the tech, with the AI hype, with the economy and everything else going on. And at the same time, you are one of the most important reporters for startups in all Germany. So I guess you get a lot of requests. Is there any strategy that you follow to prioritize?
I think that's it's a good question and a tricky one. I don't really have an answer for that. I somehow try to keep on, well, stay on top of everything, if you can say that. So I really try to look into my inbox and try to delete and answer questions and mails. And on the other hand, I mean, you also have your own agenda, and you know, okay, I have to finish the story, and I've already lined up another story, and the answers are coming in, people are calling me, I've already set up the interview. And then there's all the things that go on in a company. I mean, on the other hand, Tannisbad is a company. We are also doing podcasts there, and the journalists are joining them. And there's internal stuff you have to manage. So I think I have pretty much a hard time managing all that. But I guess I'm every working woman, mother, or like men, whatever, working people have to manage that. So it's hard with the influx.
Of course. And is there a story that you're really proud of that you have been involved in?
Yeah, you've sent me the questions before, and I've read this one, and I was like, oh my god, that's the hardest question I have to answer, because I can't. That's a bit sad to admit that, but sometimes it's really hard to remember what you did over the year and what was like most thrilling. So no, I don't really have an answer for that. I like what I'm doing, and I'm like pretty much always into it the most when I'm currently writing it. So because that's what has all my interest in the moment, and then I'm just heading to the next stuff.
I really like what you said before, that you try to beat Bloomberg in the past at Reuters to be faster. So I guess there have been a few times where you've won that race.
Yeah, pretty much. But I also lost.
and is there someone you would love to interview in the tech world, but probably send requests already, but can't cut through?
I mean, it's always great to interview known names, but on the other hand, these guys, and they usually are very well prepared, and they don't very often come up with stuff that impresses you or that is like very interesting or not known at all. So then you have to get very lucky if you experience something like that. So sometimes it's more about interviewing interesting people with a background in the industry that have already experienced something and that can tell you, yeah, like 10 years ago it was this way, or 5 years ago it was that way. And that they, if they have a network and can talk from experience, it can be very interesting, especially when they're willing to tell you something. I mean, that's what we journalists always are looking for. If the answers are not that well prepared, and if they just speak from experience, that's where it comes becomes interesting for us.
So you rather look for the underdogs.
In combination.
You need both, right?
Yeah, I mean, and then it's if you get to know them better, then it's always great to see someone for the second or third time. Then it comes like usually it flows more.
And you already mentioned that you attend events of like many events over the year. Are there some that you try to go to every year? And on the other hand, are there some events that you try to avoid or learn to avoid?
That is a question I tend to ask the founders I talk to, because I really find that interesting what they say. So yeah, there are some conferences like Slush or Web Summit. That was a bit complicated last year, but yeah. Or like Hinterland of Things in Bielefeld, or the Start Summit I try to attend. And there are so many more. It's just sometimes these conferences are great to get to know people and to see like new faces. On the other hand, it's pretty crowded, and they all have like these schedules, packed schedules, where they like meet at Slush. It's sometimes like you have like, 50 minutes up to the next one, and he already stands next to you, and you're like, oh, okay. I can't use anything because we just barely talk to each other. So it depends. On the other hand, it's good to see what these conferences try to cover and with what kind of panels they come up. And I really like to just listen to stuff to get some new ideas and for stories. So yeah, it's a kind of it's good to be there. And on the other hand, you just need time to write. So it's just a struggle to do to find the best conferences, but it's also good to attend a few.
Have you attended Tech Open in Berlin before?
I did, but only like very for like let's meet this one or that one, and let's just and I tried to listen like to a panel, and then I just got back to my laptop. But that is so easy because I live in Berlin. So yeah.
Nadine, we'd be really interested now to just pick up a little bit more on how we can best collaborate with you and work with you. And I suppose our first question in that regard is thinking about your beat. Obviously, tech is a huge and growing industry. Are there any specific topics or themes that are really catching your attention at the moment? We actually, as an agency, operate on quite a data-driven approach, and we publish something called the Taito Relevance Index. I don't know if you've come across that, but if listeners are interested as well, you can find out more about that on our website. But each time we publish that, you know, we see the picture changing ever so slightly around which topics are becoming most interesting and relevant across social media in Europe. And unsurprisingly, we're seeing a lot at the moment that AI is coming out top, AI and machine learning. Things still around climate change on the socioeconomic side are proving very popular as well. But I'm just wondering, from your perspective, what's interesting for you at the moment?
I think you already mentioned the most important areas. That's artificial intelligence. But we have an AI team at Handelsblatt now. So they mainly cover like all things AI. And it's not that I don't write about it, but if it's like really specific, I would give the story to them. And yeah, definitely, I like to write about sustainability, climate tech, deep tech, because these are also areas investors are interested in right now. And I really try to have a look at where the money flows and what's interesting for investors. Sorry for the cough. And then, I would say it's always good to have a look at like trending topics. Right now, it's a job cuts in the whole industry. So I try to have a look. Okay, what's going on in the startup scene right now? I think we are already behind the wave there, but it's really interesting in which kind of people they are interested in, like whom they want to hire. So that I would say pretty much sums it up. But it's always interesting to get approached with different kind of topics, and sometimes PR persons can really surprise us journalists. So yeah.
we hope we can do that sometimes too, for sure. Actually, just to pick up on something you mentioned there about the, sort of that investor audience, do you keep those specific audiences in mind very clearly when you're writing your stories?
Yeah, we tend to do that more these days, I would say, because it really, it's a different approach for in the article then, and you just have to like have that, keep that in mind. To make it more interesting for the audience. And I think, I mean, we are a business daily, investors, managers, people that have the money to invest in VCs that makes the decisions, that is definitely the audience we want to have. So I try to keep that in mind, absolutely.
I suppose we all have an idea of how journalism works, but even as PR professionals, for sure, I think we have misconceptions. I wonder, is there maybe one thing that you would love us to know a little bit more or understand a little bit more about your role as a journalist?
Well, it's important to keep in mind that we try to inform the public in a non-biased way. And therefore, we are always eager to to have all the different voices in a story. Sometimes it's not so easy to find these voices, but I really try, and maybe that comes also from being from working for a news agency before. I really try to be kind of neutral when I write a story, but also sometimes maybe in a surprising way to find like a different new angle. But I don't want to judge, and I don't want to offer my own view on the thing. I can do that in a commentary, absolutely, but not in an article.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess, you know, from our perspective, often our clients might be tech, you know, vendor companies who are, you know, we have to really operate quite a fine line, you know. I wonder, do you have any specific advice about, you know, how we should approach you?
I think it's good to keep in mind that we work for a different audience. We as journalists, we try to inform the public. You have your client that you work for, and it's good to know that these are two totally different ways. That doesn't mean that we cannot work together and cooperate in a great way and come up with stories that feel or that are good for me and good for you. So I think that can always be the goal. But on the other hand, I have to ask my questions, and it's up to the interviewee, the interviewed person, to answer them or to like not answer them. But that's sometimes there are PR persons that try to say, well, please don't ask this or that question. That is something a journalist cannot agree to, because, well, that's our job to ask these questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. But do you have any advice, I wondered, for young people starting out in PR, starting their careers?
Well, I've never been in PR, but like from my from my side, or what I gathered over the years, it can be a very interesting job, and I think it's really the other side where you can get to know a company very, very good, and where you can find stories you would love to be told out there. So I think it's it seems to be interesting, and if you decide to do it in a more journalistic way, then you just become a journalist. So just, yeah. And then out there, I mean, there are more persons out there that are jump between the two sides. So
the good thing is, as a PR, you only have to find a story but not write it up.
Indeed.
Exactly. What would you say is the smartest way that PRs approach you, or if you have one approach in mind that you remember for being particularly strong or clever, and what are some of the best ways?
It's always good to write my name correct. It's quite a complicated name, and to know that I'm a woman. So that's always good. I don't have a particular advice there, but it's always good if you know what I write about, and if you maybe mention a story I've written about, and just explain why it would make sense to read this mail now and to get to know the company you are working for a bit better. So just there are so many mails we get where I can immediately say, not interesting, nothing I cover. And I really try to answer these mails in, because I'm hopeful that then they get less. So it's like, okay, I'm trying to educate my audience in this way. I'm not sure if it's working, but yeah, Sarah, because well, usually Handelsblatt does not cover recently founded startups and stuff like that. So if it's really minor and if it's only like a little team and idea, we are not interested, because otherwise, I mean, I'm just not able to cover the whole scene.
Yeah.
So.
I was just going to ask, is there a kind of size or some parameters around when you would start to cover an organization?
Yeah, well, there's no no real equation, but definitely if it's a bigger company, if there's like a Series B coming up, and then it's something that interests me, like the business model is interesting, and it's maybe not only like SaaS, or it's just they do something where I think, yeah, there might be some revenue in it, and it's an interesting story. I would definitely try to talk to them and get to know them.
Okay. And roughly how many emails do you get a day, out of interest?
I've counted today. In advance. So today I had like already 70. Like sometimes some of them are internal, because well, we are have to say what we are going to write about in the upcoming days, and then you can just delete it because it's something, you know, okay, I did it, it's in my timetable already. But yeah, so it's quite a lot, and that's, I mean, we have like 2 p.m. so yeah, that's not all for the day. There some more mails coming up.
Absolutely. And I guess you know, we might approach you with something and maybe it's not quite relevant at the time, but you might want to go back and you remember something and you want to find it later, or you've spoken to someone and you want to revisit something. Do you have any ways of kind of filtering your contacts, your inbox, your information, so that you can search out those right people? I'm just kind of trying to think whether there's anything we can learn or anything we could do that might, you know, help us be found in that regard.
I have two different ways to approach this, and it doesn't sound very techy when I'm telling you this now. I have like so many different inboxes, like these under inboxes, and I don't even know the English name. Like so, like stuff I want to write during the year, and I just put the mails in there. On the other hand, I try to just tell the PR person. I just tell them, do you mind coming back to me in 1 month's time, in 6 weeks, or like even in summer, because it could be a story I'm going to cover around summertime. It makes more sense then, because it might be a better time. Stuff like that. Yeah, these are basically the two.
Okay.
Two things. And maybe my advice, I'm not working for a news agency anymore, but sometimes we really have to be quick. So it's always good, like when I have a question and I just mail it, I'm like, yeah, could you offer me a quote there? Do you have a founder that might be interesting who could answer this question? And if then someone answers very quickly, it's a good way to come up in a story. So yeah, sometimes it's still about being quick.
About speed, yeah, absolutely. Okay, how important is statistics and data in your work at the moment?
Very, very important. I really try to fortify my stories with data, and I'm in touch with different institutions, like Deal Room, PitchBook, and also with some universities, or like startups like Seedtable. So yeah, it's really important, because, well, as we all know, startups don't publish many data, and I kind of rely on data from the outside to say, okay, this is a trend. This is a topic you should be interested in, because, well, there's the data. So yeah, I really try to have that for stories.
Great. And I suppose thinking again about sort of tech firms who might be doing their own research, when we're advising clients, of course, some of our key advice is around making sure it's not self-serving, making sure we're thinking about the kind of stats and things that you might be interested in. But I just wondered, like, are you as willing and open to looking at data from tech companies, albeit, you know, startups might not do so much research, but some of the bigger organizations maybe?
I will always have a look at it, but I have to admit I'm hesitant to use it.
Yeah.
It's always better to have like a neutral site. So if a company or organization is approaching PitchBook and telling them, please, or Deal Room, like, could you have a look into that? And so they base their story on the data from like these institutions I already mentioned. That might be a different thing, but if it's a study based, because, well, yeah, the company said I want to have some data on it. It's not.
We understand.
It's complicated.
Yeah, definitely. We can understand that. Okay, thank you. And I guess final question, probably, unless you think there's anything else that we should ask you that we haven't covered yet, is we just wondered whether you have a topic that you really do not want to go near again, that you just can't bear hearing about anymore.
Not really, but well, I was thinking about this this question today in the morning, and I was actually the one that did the flash, how do you say that, the breaking news on the Brexit announcement. So that was something that's something I still remember. I don't want to cover that again. So that might be something. On the other hand, I think everything that's news should be covered, and it should be read. Just to be an informed citizen, and don't even really have to. Definitely read Handelsblatt, but there are so many great news outlets out there. Just keep informed. I think it's really important these days.
Absolutely, and I think that's a really good note to finish on. Probably that we should all keep in mind for sure. I just want to close up by saying thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time and giving us an insight into your world.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It's fascinating. It really is. It's really great to speak with you. So thank you again. I hope all our listeners have enjoyed our chat today with Nadine. If you have any feedback or any comments, you can comment below on our website. You can contact us via LinkedIn and via X, of course, or you can drop us a line at hello@taitopr.com. But thank you once again from all of us here.
Following Up is a Without Borders podcast series produced by pan-European B2B tech PR and communications agency, Taito. You can find every interview on YouTube and all major podcast platforms. Subscribe now so you never miss an episode.